was so blind. My sin was before me, I was swallowed by pride. But out of the darkness you brought me to your light. You showed me new mercy and opened up my eyes. From the day you saved my soul till the very moment when I come home, I sing, I dance, my heart will overflow. From the day you saved my soul, where brilliant light is all around, and endless joy is the only sound. Oh, rest my heart forever. Oh, in your arms I'll always be bound. From the day you saved my soul till the very moment when I come home, I'll sing, I'll dance, my heart will overflow. From the day you saved my soul. From the day you saved my soul till the very moment when I come home, I'll sing, I'll dance, my heart will overflow. From the day you saved my soul.
Welcome again. We're going to give you a few minutes to walk around and shake a hand and say how you're doing. And we're going to play a song and we'll be right back. You guys greet each other.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and pride. To see the captive hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace, we lay down our lives for him. your church. We pray, revive this church. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray. Unleash your kingdom's power, reaching the near and far. No force of hell can stop your beauty changing hearts. You've made us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us and fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are your church.
Now come on now.
And we are the hope.
Now come on and join us. As you find your seats,
build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray.
All right. Are we having a good morning yet? That's what I like to hear. We've got some announcements for you. Mr. Pat, come on up.
Well, I got a text from Frank this morning. He was heading on an airplane, headed back this direction. But he's praying for our service this morning that the Spirit moves. And man, it's a good day to be in God's house. And so I was told that Morgan hit everyone in the room. So Morgan, stand up. I just want to make sure that they know who you are. So this is Morgan Colbath. He's the official greeter, I guess. He told me to sit down a while ago. He had to go talk to everybody in the room. So. Anyhow, I thought I'd recognize him for that. But in terms of announcements, we have a number of things coming up. If you look at the back of your bulletin, Forgiven Ministry, there's another event happening April 13th, and that's prison ministry where I believe it's one day with God where the children get to come into the camps and visit with their incarcerated loved ones. And so if you have an opportunity to attend that, we've been to a couple, and they're really a worthwhile thing. David and Oksana are doing a Life in Christ all the way up through Easter. So if you want to participate in that, get a hold of them. Believe it or not, daylight savings time is coming pretty quick, like a few hours ago. So that's if you're late, whatever, you just missed it. Yeah, there goes. It's one. Well, you get it back in the fall.
It's like taxes.
It's not like taxes. But the other thing is Salmon Frenzy is coming up, and the deadline for the first installment, if you're interested in going to Salmon Frenzy in Alaska, that first installment is coming up on the 18th, and so there's a sign-up sheet. I'd really encourage you, if you have the opportunity, to consider that. It also is a very worthwhile thing, and you get to see some magnificent country. We'll be on the Kenai Peninsula in Alaska. VBS. Well, I guess one other thing. There's an insert about Sherry starting up a ladies' Bible study starting March 18th. And so if you're of the female persuasion and are interested in doing that, get a hold of Sherry. And there was also, I'm sorry, Sherry Pomeroy. Yep, I'm sorry. And so Sherry Pomeroy is leading that. And on March 23rd, you've got another insert. There wasn't a date on the insert, but this is March 23rd. There's a marriage management workshop coming up at River Oaks. And the time and everything is there. And I think we were given a video for this. And so if you wouldn't mind, Morgan, going ahead and cranking that up.
My name is Tim Russo, and I'm one of the founders of the Relational Impact Group. The Relational Impact Group is dedicated to changing lives and legacies by impacting relationships with the gospel. We offer quality biblical counseling and consulting services for personal growth, marriage, family, businesses, and churches. We also offer a certified biblical counselor training program to equip those who desire to make an impact in the lives of others. I invite you to embark on a personal growth journey that will impact your life like nothing else.
Being leaders in a large congregation, you run into a lot of different issues. And one of the things you want is some tools in your tool belt to be able to deal with those issues. And so when we heard him, I thought it would be a great thing to add some tools to my tool belt because I am not a counselor by trade.
I believe going through the training process has given me more confidence in how to apply God's word to specific life issues that people are going through. I felt like you were getting a lot for the amount of time that you put in and the amount of money you spent.
But if you need to call him or have help in terms of getting your certification, he's there. And that's really important to know that he's there. I think that's the key to his success.
I spent 30, 40 years doing counseling and doing treatment and training counselors and therapists. And when I went through this, I thought, you know, this was the missing piece all the time.
You're learning how to pull information out of the Bible and apply it to people that need help.
So you'll be able to walk out of this class fully prepared to be able to address pretty much any life issue that someone is experiencing and help walk them through how to receive healing from a biblical point of view.
This material is very understanding and clear, and you know, you don't have to be a theological major, you don't have to like that you study the Bible all your life to understand the concepts. I highly recommend Relational Impact Group.
When you help change a life, you help change a family. When you help change a family, you change a legacy. When you change a legacy, you change the world.
Thank you, Morgan. So Sherry just said that that may not be the right clip, so I'm not sure. So we'll see. But anyhow, March 23rd is a marriage management workshop. And if you have the chance to participate, probably worthwhile. I guess the last thing is, there's already talk about VBS coming up. No, you guys are nuts. So last year was awesome, and it's awesome every year. VBS is just way cool. And let's see, Nish, I think, wanted to come up and talk just a little bit about that or mention something.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning.
They were already made for us. This year we're on our own. So if you'd like to help with decorations, we will be up here sometimes during the day working on them. We will also have a list of projects that if you want to take something home and work on it, or you want to get with somebody else and come up here and spread out on the tables, Miranda will be happy to clean them off. Please try not to wash the paint out the sinks this year, or at least if you do, rinse the sinks out, it sticks. But you can come up here and do something. Also, we will have a list of places that we need help with. We'll work on that. I'm hoping to have that up by next Sunday. So if you'd like to teach, help in the kitchen, just be here. We will need a nursery worker this year. Thank God. That's cool. So they'll just feel a lot of different odd and end things. Your prayers are the greatest thing as we go into this. We've got a lot on our plate, and not to scare you that want to help with decorations, I really, 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 Miranda and Jenny really, really, really want to have everything done by May 1st complete, because we're going to get really busy in May with the new church opening. We're also, Lavernia is working on part of the decorations for us, but we're also in turn working on part of the decorations for them. So we'd like to just have it all done. That way if some weird thing does happen, we still have a little time to kind of back up, because after the new church opens, we've only got a couple weeks, and we're making decorations to go over there. But if some room or some odd thing decides to do a Sutherland Springs thing, which we all know so well, we can back up, regroup, and transfer the decorations to a different room over here. So we're kind of doing five things at once, hoping big, but you may find that every wall out here is plastered with decorations because we made too many. So lots of help, please. What? Yes. Anybody that wants to, if you want to do something, let us know. Miranda and Jenny are back there, most everybody knows. Sherry Pomeroy, anybody, just let us know, sign it up on the sheet. You can go, yeah. I try not to send everybody to Wendy because poor Wendy has everybody already, but you can let Wendy know and she will pass it on. She's amazing and we thank you for you because you put up with a lot. So thanks.
And she mentioned a new church building. We're still moving toward a May 19th dedication day. And how amazing is that? And just a lot of activity going on right now. The construction crews are pushing every day to try to, you know, continue on and get this thing finished up. And there's furniture being bought and working on playgrounds and you name it. You know, there's 100 different pieces moving, and God's got it all. And that's an amazing thing. One last thing, I would like to at least introduce our preacher man for this morning. This is Ryland Kennedy. Ryland, I know you, I'm sorry, you know you got the baby, if you don't mind standing up. So anyhow, this is Ryland. Ryland is a member of the Carn City Baptist Church. Christy and I happened to be members there when he came and joined and really got tied in and to knowing the Lord. And it's just amazing to see how God's growing this young man. And his profession is he manages the wellness center at the hospital there in Karnes County at Otto Kaiser. And so not only can you work on, he can build your six pack as well as hopefully build your spirit as well. And so I'm really looking forward to listening to Ryland this morning. And Stormy, you got verses this morning for us?
Bring that word.
Lord, I just come before you and I just pray that through Stormy's mouth come your words. And Lord, we know that he's a man that glorifies you. And Lord, I just pray that this morning you will be glorified in every single thing that's said, every single thing that's done. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Man, my reputation for tomfoolery must be awful because I'm up here getting ready to address an entire congregation, and some of you look more afraid than I do. I know I'm kind of short and I look like look like Tattoo, but I'm going to borrow a phrase from Mr. Ward. Smiles, everybody, smiles. Yeah, everybody over 25 now looks a lot better. The ones under 25 are going, who is Tattoo and Mr. Roy? It also goes along with our scripture. We're going to be reading out of Proverbs, the 18th chapter, the 24th verse. A man that has friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know, just about every animal has a way to show they're friendly. Dogs wag their tails, unless they're born without them like ours. People smile. This week when you're walking through the HEB or on the street, and you see somebody, it looks like they is freshly baptized in a jar full of dill pickles. You don't know what their problem is, but you know what their solution is. Offer a little intercessory prayer, and then give them the one thing that you can give them that don't cost you nothing. Smile. You're not going to run out of them, and you'll find that usually when you give them away, they usually get one back in return. And you might make a new friend. And if you make a new friend, you might get the opportunity to introduce them to your best friend. That friend that sticks closer than a brother. Father, thank you for your word. Truly it is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. And Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, who showed the greatest love that a man can have in laying down his life for the brethren. And thank you for loving us enough to call us friends. Help us to introduce people to the one and only friend that will stick closer than a brother, that will never leave them or forsake them. In his precious name I pray. Amen. Amen.
All right. Well, we're going to continue praising in song this morning. Choose a comfortable position of worship, whatever that means for you, if you'd like to stand or sit or roll around in the aisles. If the Spirit leads it. But let's sing this morning. Let's sing his praises. This is In Christ Alone.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace. Stilled when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curses have lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine. Returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Strength when I am weak, you are the treasure that I see, you are my all in Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all.
And I will call. peace abounds in deepest waters, sovereign hand will be my guide. When feet may fail and fear surrounds me, never fail, and you won't stop now.
You guys can be seated before we play this next song. I had a little trouble with how to approach this song because it's not a vertical worship song like we would be used to singing collectively together. And it's not really a communicational worship song either. The best way that I can describe it is it's an internal monologue. It's a song that you would sing to yourself. And we want to sing it for you this morning in hopes that you guys might just get something out of it. This is Oh My Soul. Thank you.
To hide it away so no one knows, no one will see if you stop believing. Oh, my soul, you are not alone. There's a place where fear has to face the God you know. One more day, He will make a way. Let Him show you how you can lay this down. Cause you're not alone. Here and now. You can be honest, I won't try to promise that someday it all works out. Cause this is the valley, and even now He is breathing on your dry bones. There will be dancing, there will be beauty where beauty was ash and stone. This much I know. Oh, my soul, you are not alone. There's a place where fear has to face the God you know. One more day. Show you how you can lay this down. I'm not strong enough, I can't take anymore.
You can lay it down, you can lay it down.
And my shipwrecked faith will never get me to shore.
You can lay it down, you can lay it down.
Can He find me here? Can He keep me from going? Where fear has to face the God you know. One more day, He will make a way. Let Him show you how you can lay this down. You're not alone. Oh, my soul, you're not alone.
Thank you. Mr. Ryland?
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It is good to be here this morning. I appreciate that.
Amen.
I told Brother Frank, probably thank you about 5 or 6 times just for the opportunity to be here for y'all, so I thank y'all again. Today, we are going to be reading out of the book of Ephesians, if you'd like to join in your Bibles. We're going to be in chapter 6, mainly focusing on verses 10 through 20. And if y'all don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and read real quick. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which in the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. I'm not going to lie, I finished reading the book of Ephesians about 3 weeks ago. I'm letting y'all know, I'm a later in life Christian. I got saved in college, as crazy as that sounds, that genuine people are the farthest away from God, right? So when I was saved, you know, my first year of marriage also, you know, I wanted to be a little bit closer and know more about the Bible because I literally never grown up in a church, no Sunday school. I mean, I'd visit churches with my buddies if I had to stay the night, you know. Oh, you're going to church with us, you know, that kind of thing. So being a later in life Christian and being a new Christian, I wanted to read all the books of the New Testament. I wanted to know what Jesus did when he was here. And that was 6 years ago, so I'm in Ephesians now, so I've been taking my time, right? So I read Ephesians a few weeks ago, and man, this past year for me has been incredibly a growing time. And generally when you think of a growing time, you think of something that's making you grow, something that's making you be better, something that's challenging you to grow through it, being uncomfortable at times. And I'm in this discipleship group with my pastor in Carn City and another gentleman, and I mean, we have really grown a lot. And my wife and I during this whole year also, we have grown through a lot, and we have gone through some incredibly tough challenges. Over a year ago was probably one of the worst times in mine and my wife's life. You know, I revealed to her some of the things that I'd done in college. I mean, I'm talking like not just the bad stuff we all do. Everybody's got bad stuff that they've done, right? I'm talking about the stuff you don't tell anybody. Like, you know that you did it, and that's good enough in the parties you were with, right? I told my wife, I opened up to her, because during this discipleship group, I had to get that off of my chest. I couldn't let that have any strength or reign over me, so I let my wife know. And following that, as hard as it was, I mean, we were to the point where, I mean, we were almost getting a divorce. I mean, it was hard. I mean, it was incredibly hard. And to come through that now, to think about the strength we have is just remarkable. And that's only something God could do. So I read Ephesians, and you know, in Ephesians 5, he also does, you know, the typical, the wedding verses, you know, a husband goes to his wife, and I sent that to my wife, being a good, loving husband. I was like, you know, I'm reading Ephesians, I'm super excited about it, I love you. And I read Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. And being a later in life Christian and going through everything I've had to go through this past year, God told me what to talk about 3 weeks ago here. He told me what to tell y'all today. And I was like, why would God do that? 3 weeks ago, I've been just sitting on this. I read, who knows how many times I've read that same chapter, but I just thought about y'all, and I thought about Pastor Frank, and, you know, God told me in a dream, and I'm going to tell y'all that dream in a little while, but he told me this because of the relationship I have with him now, not just being a Christian, but I mean, you know, when I was saved, I was like, boom, I got it made. You know, I'm a Christian now. You know, I knew I needed to do that, right? But now, and no, it's not about just doing that act. It's about having that walking, talking relationship with our Savior. You know, that's when he talks to us more so. That's when he draws us in. And when he draws us in, we're more separated from Satan the accuser, right? So I'm going to read Ephesians 6, 13 through 17. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So, like I said, God gave me a dream. After reading this, I'm sure I might have been around, you know, scripture. You might have heard, that's one of those famous, you know, put on the whole armor of God, right? So I haven't read it in full, in its entirety. I read the whole book of Ephesians. God came to me later that night in a dream. And I couldn't explain this dream, so I didn't understand it, so I didn't tell my wife. We talk about our dreams all the time. We have crazy dreams. And we just like, what'd you dream about? You know, like, I mean, I wake up sweating. She wakes up sweating. She's standing over me. I don't know why, but I'm just kidding. She's like, I'm dreaming. But so he came to me in this dream. And reading that, you know, I think about how awesome that sounds. You know, take up the whole armor of God. And I don't know if y'all are visual people. I'm only assuming that y'all can. But, I mean, I think about warriors, or I think about soldiers, you know, being a soldier of God, being a soldier in God's army or a warrior for Christ. You know, younger kids, if y'all are into superheroes, you mean, you might think about some superheroes, thinking about that mythological type of warrior. You might think about Diana Prince, who's Wonder Woman, right? She has that Greek mythological background. You know, if you're a little bit older, you might think about, say, Leonidas, Gerard Butler in 300, right? The ultimate shredded warrior that all men would love to aspire to be, right? And then you also might think about Brad Pitt in Troy, right? I mean, Achilles. He was the greatest warrior of all time in mythological Greek history. And then for those that are, say, maybe older than I am, you might think about Kirk Douglas in Spartacus. I remember watching Spartacus with my dad. My dad was a huge Kirk Douglas fan. Spartacus was a warrior. You know, he did awesome things, too, in that movie. So you think about these visions of this bravado, this grandioseness that we might have about ourselves. Like, man, that looks awesome. I want to be like that for God. So God gave me a dream, and I'm standing outside my house. Everything looks exactly the same. I mean, we live in a small, modest house. Our yard's mowed, thankfully. And, you know, I'm looking around, and I see my kids' play set, and I see our pecan trees right in the front also. And I'm clothed like a warrior, right? I'm just, like, ready to go for a fight. I know a fight's coming. You know, I have my shield, my spear, you know, the belt, the sword, my helmet on. I'm just like, I can do this. You know, like, I am super excited about this. As crazy as it is, I don't know why I'm excited about a fight, but I look the part like I'm ready to rock and roll. And I know a fight's coming, and about 10 yards away, 15 yards away maybe, you know, I see an outline start to form. And it's kind of like a shadow right now, just, you know, nothing right now, but it's developing. And I know that has to be my enemy coming to me, right? I can't make him out. I can't make him or her out, whatever it is. So I get kind of nervous. You know, I can't see this thing, so I don't know what I'm supposed to be fighting, but it looks like a person. You can see its outline. And then these voices start coming. I hear these voices, and I start getting aggravated. You know, it comes to me. If anybody in here is a sibling, y'all know what it's like to fight your older sibling, right? I mean, it doesn't matter what you can do. They're going to beat you no matter what, right? So I hear these voices come to me, and it, like, attacks me, and it knows exactly what to say to get me riled up. It knows exactly what to say to get me to react to what it's saying to me. So it comes to me first in the voices of my siblings. You know, think about my older brother. You know, typical older brothers are generally a little bit rougher, you know, rough around the edges, especially to the younger brother. But I remember just fighting. You know, I remember just getting upset and trying to run and attack this thing. I still can't see it, right? It's bigger than me, though. It's bigger than me. And I'm like, I can do this. You know, I look like a warrior. Let's go. And I go fight, and it just, pop, you know, and Rylan goes flying off on the ground. And I'm like, okay. And I hear my other siblings, you know, like, you should be better, Rylan. You should be more like this, Rylan. You should just do more, Rylan. How come you can't be better? How come you can't be like this? You know, how come you can't act right, Rylan? How come you can't listen to mom? How come you can't be like your dad? You know, all that kind of stuff just gets to my mind. And each time they say something like an insult, I just get up and I want to hit them. I want to hit this thing. So then, obviously, each time it says something, it says a line, I run at it, you know, real willing to fight. And I run at it and it just knocks me down. I mean, each and every single time. And then I get more frustrated because it comes at me in the voices of my parents. And I hear my dad's voice, you know, like, you know, especially like when you're a young man or a young kid and you think about your parents coming down on you, right, capitalizing. You're just like, I told you not to do that. You know, I told you you should have been better. I told you you should have listened. You know, how come you didn't, you know, do this? Or in my mom's voice, you know, I think about, how come you didn't listen to me? How come you can't be more like your brother? How come you can't be more like your sister? Or, you know, just finally listen to me for once, Ryland, please. And I'm thinking about it. It's just getting more and more aggravating because I'm looking the part and I'm just like, how am I still messing up all the time? Why am I still messing up all the time? And so, again, each time it says, you know, a different voice, a different line, I run at it, and I'm just getting beat up. I don't even get close to it. It just knocks me down every single time. And then it comes to me also, because I struggle like everybody else does in this world, and I'm broken. You know, I love to get a compliment, but, you know, it comes to me also in my wife's voice. You know how husband and wife, I mean, y'all can just say that one thing, and then there goes a little, you know, a fit, right? So it comes to me in my wife's voice, and I'm just getting more and more aggravated. Just, you know, Ryland, you know, we talked about this already. Or Ryland, you did this. And I'm just listening to this thing get into my head, and I'm trying. And this thing's taking more and more shape, and I see it. You know, I can see its legs, and it's bigger. This thing's like 8 feet tall. And I finally get up after getting my butt handed to me all these times, and I turn around and I look, and it looks like me. Like 10 years ago when I was in college. In college, I had some longer hair to my shoulders, okay? I was, you know, I worked out a lot. I was very in shape, but it looks like me, and it's just looking down on me, just smiling at me, knowing that cat, that's me. That dude knows everything I've done in my life, and I'm scared. It doesn't matter how cool I look right now. I am scared. Because that guy knows every darkness thing, every darkness that I've kept, that I've withheld, all my fears, all my sufferings, all my temptations, just how little I value myself. He knows that. And I'm looking at him and I'm just like, I'm supposed to fight this guy. You know, I'm supposed to fight this guy. How am I supposed to do it? So then he starts talking to me. He's like, Ryland, he's like, you're not going to be a good husband. How can you be a good husband, Ryland? You know, your parents split up when you were little. You can't be a good husband. So I just get so upset, you know, because I've lasted longer than my parents have. So I get so upset and I run at him again, trying to fight him. And he just knocks me down again. And again, you know, I'm that warrior for God now. You know, I'm like, what's going on? How come I can't win? And then he looks at me, he's like, you're not gonna be a good husband? You're not gonna be a good dad, Ryland? How can you be a good dad when you didn't have yours growing up? When y'all moved so far away, you didn't have that dad. You can't be a good dad to your kids. Look at you. And I just get so aggravated. I mean, he just knows exactly what to say. So I'm running at him again and he just boom, just knocks me down again. You know, and I'm getting more and more riled up, and I'm getting, you know, cuts and bloodied up, and I'm still in my yard, in front of my house. I'm just like, why is this happening? You know, I'm a warrior now. How am I still getting beat up? And then it's talking to me about all the stuff I did in college, you know, all the parties, all just that crazy lifestyle that I rebuke now. And, you know, I thought about all the dumb stuff that I did as a teenager, you know, saying, you know, you can't be this, Ryland. You can't be a Christian because I know exactly what you did. You can't be a Christian because I know all the stuff you did in your past. And each time it's talking to me, it's just looking down on me, and I'm getting more and more aggravated, and I'm trying my hardest with all of my might to approach this thing and just beat it. The harder I try, the easier it is for him to beat me down, though. And then I'm tired of getting beat up all the time. And I'm kind of on my knees just like, what? Like, how come I can't win? How come I cannot beat this thing? You know, I'm a warrior now. I'm a soldier. I look cool. You know, I'm supposed to be able to win. You know, I finally talk to God. I'm just like, God, I'm this Christian. You know, how am I supposed to win? You know, I'm like, you know what? I remember in the dream so vividly, but like, you're so angry and riled up, you almost start crying. Like, you just don't know what to do, so your body just reacts like that. And it's like, it's a tangible moment in the dream. I'm just like, God, I'm with you now. I'm a Christian now, God. How am I supposed to win? I'm tired of getting beat up all the time. And God just looks at me and says, or God just says, he didn't look, he just says in my dream, he just says, I didn't ask you to win. And I get up and I look at my opponent and he's gone. I get up after God said, I didn't ask you to win, Rylan. I get up and I turn around and he's gone. And I'm sitting there just like stumped at that moment. I'm like, but I still look the same. I still look like that warrior. I still look like I went through a fight. And I'm like, so, like, what does that mean? So I thought about it for a long, like a couple of days. I was just thinking about that dream and I daydreamed about it and I just replayed it over and over in my head. Why was I getting beat up? How did it take so many times? Why did he use so many voices to get to me? How did it get me so riled up? So I told you I was going through this discipleship group, and we're towards the end of a book, and in one of our chapters, it goes over this very thing, being clothed in the armor of God. Now, how crazy is that to think this is how awesome and sovereign our God is, that one, I finished Ephesians, and I had this dream he brought to me, and I thought about it, and then a few days later, reading my discipleship group book, you know, he brought this to me through the book, and it's a book named Think Differently, Live Differently, and it's written by a man named Bob Hamp. If you don't mind, I'm going to read you a quick excerpt. Perhaps the most important to realize is that we are in a war every day. We need to know this, not so that we will be fearful or anxious, but we will put on the spiritual armor described in Ephesians 6:10-18. This is a metaphorical armor that symbolizes the very real protection God has provided us in the midst of war. Each piece is described in this passage to enable us to resist evil and stand our ground. The piece of armor protects us from the most part that's, or the piece of armor that protects us from the most vulnerable to the enemy's lies is the belt of truth. Our enemy fights dirty, strikes low blows, but knowing the truth about God and ourselves will strengthen and protect us. The breastplate in the suit of armor symbolizes how being in right relationship with God and others protects us from the enemy's attempts to wound our hearts. We put on the shoes God provides for warfare when we prepare ourselves with the good news of his peace before we go to war. This keeps us from being tripped up by the enemy's traps so we can walk through difficult circumstances with God's supernatural peace. This passage instructs us above all else to lift up our faith in God like a shield so that we can extinguish all the fiery missiles or darts the enemy sends our ways. Next in the list of armor is the helmet of salvation, representing the wholeness, soundness, and aliveness made available to us through Jesus. When you know you have received the gift of salvation, it acts as a guard over your mind so that the accusing and tormenting thoughts the enemy sends cannot penetrate and destroy you. The last piece of armor is actually the one weapon we possess to strike back at the enemy, the sword of God's word. This represents the words he has breathed that we agree with and speak out of our mouths. So to tie that in, you know, again, I finished Ephesians, I had that dream, and then I read that a few days later, and God said, you need to talk about this. You need to be in prayer about this. Going back to my dream, you know, I'm outside fighting this enemy. You know, and he's tempting me with all these lies to evoke that reaction, right, to try to poke a hole in that armor that God has clothed me in. I accepted that armor from God. If we've accepted that, that's how we're supposed to look each and every single day. I wanted to believe that. I mean, I looked cool. I looked the part. And how many of us out there actually believe that's what we look like for God? I mean, we wake up every day. We are ready to roll for God. This is us, mentally, spiritually. We should be like this internally thinking this is how we are to be for him. Even though we look the part, Satan, the accuser, he is still going to be out there in this world. God let him walk around the world, so he's going to be there. He's going to try his hardest to manipulate us using the things that matter to us the most. Family, our spouses, ourselves. And to know when I was that person, when I had that armor, I realized what I had done wrong. When I got clothed, I took the reins from God and I said, I got this now. I look awesome. And then there I go, getting my butt handed to me each and every time, getting played by the world, getting manipulated by Satan, knowing he's winning me over his reactions. And then I finally again realize that I can't do it. And when we can't do something, we need to again submit ourselves to God to remember who we are with. Our pastor has this saying in Carn City. He says, you have two roles. Remember who you are, and you remember whose you are. I am Ryland Kennedy, and I'm a soldier for God. I am Ryland Kennedy. I'm a warrior for God's kingdom. I am Ryland Kennedy. I have a child of God. We need to remember that daily when we wake up, because so much so, we might not meet anybody that's like that kind of a person, but we not just be facing the internal battle that we present to ourselves to say, God, do you have me up here yet? Did I submit myself to you yet, God? God, I have my heart, but this mind's going to be playing tricks on me because I don't feel very confident right now. God, something happened to me at work or in my family. I don't feel very valued right now. God, somebody made me look bad, so I don't know what to say or do now except try to protect myself. So in that dream, you know, I'm outside fighting. You know, we all know what I look like. And I'm losing every single time. The real question I'm asking, you know, much like thinking about those movies in my dream, how many of y'all pictured yourselves like a warrior? How many of y'all pictured yourselves like a soldier? How many of y'all thought about those voices that came into your mind to play you, to play a trick on you, to say, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I know y'all do. It's hard to admit it. But those voices came back and they crept up in your head and said, you're not worth it. God can't love you. I know exactly what you've done. Someone in your family, a close friend, whoever it is, the world, looks at us as Christians and says, that's not right. Y'all can't worship a God. I mean, there's no way. The world's out there just trying to play us and say, you can't pray to an invisible God. You need to be of this world. You need to be with us. You need to do these things in the world to say, this is where you get your value from through all the things you perceive, you buy. And, you know, I'm thinking about the world, and I'm thinking about what I used to be, which when I was of the world, and all the things that I put into my body and the things that I did with myself and all the partying and stuff. And I'm just like, no more. And the more and the longer I've been going through this discipleship group, you know, it's been almost a year. The closer I'm getting with God, the harder Satan tries to get me. And the closer we are here, not just in this building, which is a great building, the closer we are in community with other soldiers, with other warriors, with other children of God, the farther away we're going to be from Satan. And Satan's not going to try to pry into us. Satan knows he's not going to win, so he's going to try even harder to get us individually and attack us to say, I know exactly who you are. I know this. I know that. And he's going to get louder, and he's going to get bigger, and we're going to get more and more terrified. But again, if we submit ourselves to God and realize who we are in him, give that rein back to God to say, God, I am your soldier. I don't want to just look the part. I don't want to just talk about it. I want to walk it with you. Because I am in you and you are in me. You know, and it's crazy to me to think, you know, in 2012 is when I got saved. And here we are, 2019, 7 years later. And, you know, I'm still reading, still growing, you know, learning more of God's word, the sword and the shield and the helmet of salvation, and thinking about the shoes on my feet and how I can be this for God. You know, I still don't have a whole lot of confidence in myself. You know, I still don't have a whole lot of value in myself oftentimes because of who I used to be. And God doesn't look at me like that. And that's been one of my prayers is, God, I pray that I see the value you saw in me when you met me at the cross and took my pain. And I pray that I'm reminded of that all the time. And I pray that I'm reminded that I am a child of God. And I pray that I'm reminded that I am a warrior. I am a soldier with that confidence because God gave me that. You know, even though I'm going to get attacked daily, and we will. And we will. More so maybe by an outside influence. More so, I think it's going to be more of an internal influence in our own minds. Because Satan is the accuser. He's the manipulator. He knows how to do it quick. And he knows how to make you doubt. And he knows how to make you deny. And I pray that we just look around at each other and again remember who you are, and we remember whose we are. And again, we know our names. But like a pastor says, I pray that, remember, we are a child of the King. I pray that we know from Ephesians that we are a soldier or a warrior for God and his kingdom, and we are to battle daily. And even though we're going to get cut and bloodied and beat up, man, like in that dream when I didn't know what happened, when I gave those reins back to God and I submitted to him, he was gone. Battles are tough. Battles are daily. But the victory has already been won. And that's where we can have relief and belief and faith in the fact that we know what God has done on the cross through his son, and that's who we have our faith in. And we have our restoration in and through him. You know, I know this is my first time here. I just wanted to say that I love y'all. Y'all are my brothers and sisters, as is everyone in Karn City. They are my brothers and sisters. And we are community for God. We are the church. We are those children of the King. We are those soldiers. We are those warriors. Uplift each other. Be that community. Be that battalion. Be that family. And I just want to say I thank y'all and I love y'all and I appreciate the opportunity to be able to bring here and give you God's word. And I pray that we walk away from here knowing we are those soldiers and those warriors. Be bold and steadfast. I thank y'all.
Lord, I just come before you and I just thank you for Riley, Lord, and for the message that you've given to him. And Lord, I just pray that each and every day you remind us of who we are in you. And Lord, I just thank you for watching this young man grow and become more tied into you, Lord, and become a stronger brother. And Lord, I just thank you for his willingness to come here this morning. And Lord, I just pray for each and every one in this room, Lord, who is going through these battles each and every day. Lord, that you give us your strength and that you remind us of just who you are. Lord, in your word, in the book of John, you say the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Lord, that you come that we may have life and have it abundantly. And I just pray that we seek your abundant life each day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We're going to finish up with a song, finish our service this morning. Sing it however you like. I also wanted to extend to you guys that this altar is open, and there are several here that would love to pray with you. Just because Frank is gone doesn't mean that the prayer has exited the building. Come on up. Let's lift those prayers up, and we'd love to join you in that. And this song is about exactly what Rylan was talking about. Great is thy faithfulness. Let's close out our service with that this morning. Yeah.